What's up, everybody? Welcome to Kinda Funny Games Daily for Wednesday, February 19th, 2020. I'm off my game. There's breaking news.
What's going on?
There's breaking news.
And
so I didn't have. I was reading the breaking news, but so I didn't have the document open.
Like breaking, like just now.
Exactly. Yeah. Yeah. Exactly. It's number one. It's a big one too. I think, ladies and gentlemen.
Okay. But
it's a. You want to just start it here, ladies and gentlemen? We have breaking news. My name's Greg Miller. That, of course, the Rogue One at Gary Widow.
Yeah, I mean, you had to look at your watch to know it was.
Well, I just wasn't
Wednesday.
There.
That's
well, no, I needed the date. Wednesday. Date. That's why I had the
news?
Wednesday night. Ladies
November
and gentlemen, 19th. From the PlayStation blog, they have updated their PlayStation at PAX East. You remember this? PlayStation at PAX East. Play The Last of Us Part 2, Final Fantasy VII Remake, more. This was posted on February 13th, a mere 6 days ago. Thank you, Apple Watch.
I saw that floating around.
Update.
Okay.
Today. Sony Interactive Entertainment made the decision to cancel its participation at PAX East in Boston this year due to increasing concerns related to COVID. Is that what you call it?
COVID-19.
No, exactly. Also known as the coronavirus.
Oh.
We felt this was the safest option as the situation is changing daily. We are disappointed to cancel our participation in this event, but the health and safety of our global workforce is our highest concern.
Would wow. they, yeah, I mean, they presumably would have people coming over from Asia.
Well, it's not even that, I think, as much as people are traveling from all over the country slash
well,
world
I mean,
to PAX.
I mean, conventions are, and I believe there was even like a Tom Clancy book that used this concept that there was a, I think it was Rainbow, the novel Rainbow Six.
Sure.
That ended up, you know, spawning
all the
games.
There's a lot of those, right? The Division was the dollar flu.
Yeah, but that wasn't that. I mean, that just has Clancy's name on it. All that shit was came up with long after he died. But Tom Clancy wrote a novel called Rain.
Did he die of coronavirus?
The late Tom Clancy wrote a book called Rainbow Six, which spawned the series of games. And in that book, there was a terrorist group who were trying to spread a deadly virus around the United States and around the world. And the way that they did it was planting little aerosol dispensers, canisters, whatever,
those
at various
plug-ins.
Trade conventions and things around the world because people come from all over the world.
Then they go home.
And then they go home and they spread it. So, yeah.
That's in general why.
I can understand why conventions and airports, anywhere where people from far and wide are congregating, that's obviously a vector for the spread of a virus. So I can understand the concern.
This is... Wow. I think we've talked in hypothetical so much about coronavirus production values.
Yeah, I don't want to be too skeptical.
Sure.
Although I'm going to be.
It sounds like Gary Witt is about to put on
It's a convenient out if you had another reason you wanted to get out of PAX.
What do you think their other reason was?
I don't know. It could be any number of reasons. But it's
too
nice,
cold?
It's a nice thing to have, isn't it?
Sure.
It's like when you say, oh, I have a family emergency, if you need to get out of something. No one questions it. No one says, but what kind of family emergency?
Fucking give me the
they
doctor's
They just go, oh, okay, family emergency.
Sure,
well, that's
sure,
a great
sure.
way to get out of things.
Yeah. I don't buy it. I totally agree with you that, you can totally pin this on anything, but, like, the cost was lost. Tickets were bought. The booth space was paid for. Not
so
to mention,
it was a...
even think of it this way, like, how much goodwill and publicity has PlayStation gotten of, hey, we're bringing The Last of Us Part 2 for the consumers to play.
Right.
This is going to be its first public outing, first outing since the event that I played it at, right? Kindoffunny.com/wrong. I'm sure there's some trade show. Maybe they've shown it at. But definitely, when I played it, that demo was ready to go. And that was, what, 6 months ago, 7 months ago? To have that, I don't think that Last of Us Part 2 demo is not ready. So that would be your biggest thing, right? Outside, because they just... Interestingly,
it's
just
interesting
posted this as an update to the article. But when you look through it, here, they're originally going to have these games, right? To give you an idea of how big their booth is as well, I think. Below, Cloudpunk, Doom Eternal, Dreams, Final Fantasy VII Remake, Genshin Impact, Gorn, Haven, The Last of Us Part II, Marvel's Iron Man VR, MLB The Show 20, Mosaic, Moving Out, Nioh 2, One Punch Man, A Hero Nobody Knows.
Wait, One Punch Man game?
Mm-hmm.
Ooh, I didn't know about that.
Well, you're not going to get to play it now. Paper Beast, Persona 5 Royal, Pixel Rip 1995, Predator Hunting Grounds, Remnant from the Ashes, The Room VR, A Dark Matter, Space Channel 5, Spelunky 2, Trials of Mana.
Space Channel 5's coming back?
Yeah, it's a PlayStation VR.
Ooh.
Not going to get to play it now.
I like all of this.
And then Zombie Army 4. So, I mean, like, this wasn't a small booth. This was going to be lots of games.
Zombie Army 4 is already out.
Well, so is Dreams, like, you know how it is. They put stuff out there to get you to touch it and play it.
That's a good lineup.
That's a great lineup.
Sony has a strong lineup.
Don't get me wrong, I think the main bullet point coming out of this for so many people is going to be, oh, man, I really want to play Last of Us Part 2.
Right.
I think You cannot, as you just, we just read through that, you cannot underplay what a backbreaker this is for the indies in smaller games, right? Like Pixel Rip 1995, right?
Yeah, below Last of Us 2 doesn't need any help, yeah. Right? That's going
to
be a big
people
seller.
Finally getting their chance probably to play Iron Man VR if they haven't played it before.
That's a bummer if you're a smaller indie developer and right. You were relying on or placing expectations on getting some exposure at the Sony booth.
Yeah, that's crazy.
But yeah,
here's my more question. Do you think, and again, like you said, a family emergency, right? PlayStation wants to take care of everybody. I understand. Whatever. Do you think this is a knee-jerk reaction? Do you think this is too much? Do you think coronavirus and the threat of coronavirus is so bad at this point?
I think a company the size of Sony doesn't make a decision like this lightly. I think that they've had a lot of discussion about it and decided that this is for the best. And I support that. Better 100%. To be safe than sorry.
Yeah.
The interesting thing is we're not at a point yet. Like Sony is a company, but it's one individual company pulling out of a convention. We're not seeing, it's not like we're seeing a run on PAX where like everyone's saying, oh, we better not go to PAX and PAX is kind of falling apart. PAX is going to go ahead. And so the possible, and we all talk about PAX pox and PAX flu.
Totally.
And people get sick after PAX because everyone sits on those disgusting
bean bags
that are petri dishes.
It's not even that. They play the games, a million different controllers. Then they get a piece of pizza and they eat it with their hands.
Right, right.
They eat french fries with their hands.
Yeah, I mean, I'm not even like a germaphobe kind of guy. You're making me not want to go.
You can't do that, guys.
What are we supposed to do?
Do what I do. Stay home. Wash your hands before you eat or use the napkin as a glove.
Stay home.
That means I have to wait longer to get the
pizza inside
me.
I know, but it'll cool down.
Buy a gallon tub of hand sanitizer.
I don't think I can do it.
Wrap yourself in cling wrap.
Here's what I'm
going to
say, too.
Stay at home.
Here's what I'm going to say. I don't buy the hand sanitizer. I don't deal with it because I don't want the false sense of confidence. Maybe I didn't get it everywhere on my hand. Maybe I've left a little microbe over here. I want the soap and water. I want under there. I want a good lather. I want that.
Just wash your hands.
I'm such a germaphobe at conventions, everybody. This is TMI for the heads up. Such a germaphobe, I'll have you know, that when I have to go pee at a convention, most times I'll walk in, wash my hands first, then touch my dick and pee, then wash my hands again. All right?
Wait a minute.
Because I don't know what's been happening on all y'all's hands, and I shake hands. Not always, no. Sometimes I go for days without washing my dick, you know?
Why is it important that you wash your hands before you touch your dick?
What if I have
something? Is your dick filthy or something?
I've been shaking people's hands. I've been doing this. What if somebody's put some kind of weird microbe skin condition on
me? You don't want that widened up on your dick.
No. I don't mind. Tomorrow, I wake up, some kind of weird skin thing's eating away my hands. No big deal. I wake up tomorrow, some weird skin thing's eating away my dick. I got a problem. You understand? And that's why PlayStation is pulling out of PAX East. Ladies and gentlemen, this is Kind of Funny Games Daily. Each and every weekday on a variety of platforms, we run you through the nerdy video game news you need to know about. If you like that, be part of the show. Patreon.com/kindoffunnygames with your questions, comments, concerns, your squad up requests, and so much more. Remember, over on patreon.com/kindoffunnygames, you can get every episode of the show ad-free along with the exclusive post-show. You can also watch this recorded live on twitch.tv/kindoffunnygames. If you're watching live, you have a special job. Go to kindoffunny.com/you'rewrong. Tell us what we screw up as we screw it up so we can set the record straight for everybody watching later on youtube.com/kindoffunnygames, roosterteeth.com, and podcast services around the globe. Housekeeping for you. Damn, I still have the PlayStation thing open. I'm not ready for anything. This is a good one. Changing subjects from horrible things eating away your hands and PlayStation coming out of E3. We're giving away Knights and Bikes on Switch today. Copies of that. We have multiple copies of Knights and Bikes, one of my favorite games of last year, on the Switch. You can, today, when the Kind of Funny Vids Twitter account tweets about this episode with the link, it'll also mention the Knights and Bikes giveaway. You retweet that. Make sure you're following Kind of Funny Vids. We will pick at random a bunch of winners, and tomorrow we'll announce them on the show. For now, though, thank you to our Patreon producers, James Davis, David Mindtell, Mind Freak, Mohammed, the nanobiologist, Frank Furter, Blackjack, Patrick Higgins, Travis Gajkowski, Drew Garnier-Frutis, Dominic Shorter, Ginny Burnt, Joseph Solar, and Katie Gallagher. Today we're brought to you by Hymns and Quip, but I'll tell you about that later. For now, let's begin the show with what is and forever will be the Roper Report. Time for some news. Four items on the Roper Report, but you can count it as five because you got the bonus one.
Bakers.
Were you mid eating something there when I did the original one? Because there was a beat there, I noticed.
No, I just thought it'd be fun to give a little beat there.
It was.
Put you on your toes, like, whoa.
I like it. I like what you did there. I did you too. Already coming in from You're Wrong, just to get it all done here, I'll let you know. Borders in 00 says the public has never been given the chance to play Last of Us Part 2. And then, okay. And then Aiden from Edmonton says, Gary, the Tom Clancy novel you're thinking of is Executive Orders, not Rainbow Six.
Oh, that's right, Executive Orders. But in Rainbow Six, they have an even bigger plan to spread a deadly virus by putting it at the Olympics. And they put the virus into the, like, the misters, you know, that the athletes
Cool.
Because
that's
an even bigger idea, is that athletes come from all over the world to compete at the Olympics in a contained area. They infect them all, and then they all go home and get sick. And, like, their plan, like, they're in Rainbow Six, they're, like, eco-terrorists. And they basically want to wipe out, like, almost the entire fucking population of the world and leave only a few, you know, Greenpeace kind of guys left to kind of, you know, fix the planet, I guess. It was dumb.
Do they have an antidote?
Yeah, love.
I think they just shoot everybody before. I think the antidote is bullets, basically. The Rainbow Six guys just kick the doors down and shoot them all before they get to do it.
No, I meant the bad guys. Like, do they have a way to?
Oh yeah, they have a way because they created the virus. So they created it all in a lab. So they have a way of
they're
making sure
inoculated,
they're
right?
Yeah,
you call
yeah,
it?
They're
yeah.
immune.
Inoculated?
Whatever you want to call it.
Is that right though?
Inoculated. Yeah.
I love that word. I don't use it ever. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Inoculation.
Yeah.
Charles J wants to continue. Before we even get into the number one here, we're going to go to the number zero, the prime. You know, anything we didn't know was going to happen. The breaking news here about PlayStation. Charles J says this, Gary. Sorry to put a question here, but re-breaking news. PlayStation not attending PAX. Do you see Sony getting The Last of Us Part 2 demo made ready for consumer systems to make up for this? Yes, it'll cost money and resources, but it could give them a lot of good buzz. The answer, Charles, is no.
Why do they need a demo for that game? That
they
game's going to sell millions of copies.
Of course.
Buzz? Buzz?
Well, he's saying goodwill buzz. He's saying goodwill buzz. You know what I mean? Do the right thing kind of thing. But the problem is that everybody would do the wrong thing, as we've seen time and time again, Gary. They give you a demo for something in a game, and then everybody goes in with their hacking skills into the back end and finds all the cutscene names and like, oh, guess who's going to die in this
thing? There's no reason. If I was Sony, I would not put out a demo for that game. There's no reason to.
Let alone the fact that you figure... And yeah, I'm right on this one, kindoffunny.com/wrong if I'm wrong, but we weren't allowed to do direct feed when we went to play The Last of Us, right? So it's only the B-roll that's been poured over and approved and is the most perfect version of that demo that you'd ever see of it. So if you were to put it out for everybody to play on their consoles, suddenly everybody's capturing every little flaw, every little bug they see, talking about how bad The Last of Us Part 2 runs.
Yeah.
Meanwhile, if you would have just...
You know, who needs it?
If there wasn't any kind of... If there was no bacterial infections in the world and you were able to go to PAX East and play this, you would play it, leave, and talk about how awesome it was.
It's like that old Jimmy Fallon joke when he said, oh, today's National French Fries Day. Hopefully this will help really get the word out about French fries. Like, you know, like The Last of Us does not need any help.
No.
It does not need a demo.
I agree.
Last of Us Part 2, what's that? Maybe I should check out a demo. Come on.
You already played the demo. You played the demo multiple years ago with Last of Us Part 1, and
basically.
You know what it's all about now.
Hey, you know what they should make you be good, though, at PAX? Go play it. Play a simulation of, like, a deadly virus that's going around the world.
Also,
come home. Get a real virus.
Sure. Then you're all set
spread
for
that
it.
Around.
You know what it's going to be.
Yeah.
Right?
It's like an ARG.
Gary, we got so into the fast lane here with the news today. How are you doing? What's news?
I'm good. I'm fine.
How much do you weigh now? We need the update on that too.
Oh yeah, I lost three more pounds, so I'm down 21.2 Woo! Pounds.
All right.
No complaints. Doing well. I had a lovely steak and cream spinach last night for dinner. Enjoyed it thoroughly. It's all on my plan.
Yeah.
It's good.
Okay.
I'm happy.
Good.
I'm losing the weight. Feeling good about it.
All right. You ready to get some
under more news? Under 200 is the goal.
Okay, where are we at now? 230?
231.
Okay. You got this, Gary. We're proud of you. You got this. Okay.
Yeah, I'm already more than a third of the way there.
Did you run here?
No. I'm not doing any exercise at all.
Okay,
Fuck that. I will start doing... The problem with me is when you're too heavy, exercise is really hard because you're carrying around all this extra weight.
Yeah.
As the weight comes off and it's easier for me to like move around, I'll do more. I've got Ring Fit at home waiting for me.
Gotcha.
I've got to get back into badminton, but my ankle is still not right.
Are you going to play in the Kind of Funny Basketball pay-per-view?
No, I can't pause. That's how I fucked my ankle in the first place, was playing basketball.
Okay.
Went up for a jump shot. No.
No.
I can't ever play basketball again. I'm done. What do we have it? The world of basketball mourns.
What if we have it so you don't run? All you have to do is stand stationary when we throw you the
ball. No, let's just put him on the commentary station or put him in the sideline reporter
put me in the booth.
He's going to do the same thing he did last time where he comes in and he's like, "Well, you know, I got to leave in 30 minutes." So
what if I ever done that?
No, literally last pay-per-view, remember?
Pay-per-view we did.
Remember when we did the wrestling pay-per-view and you popped in?
I didn't
in,
even
you
know, come in. No, I didn't even come in for
you
that.
Did.
No, you did. You walked in. You said, "How long do you need me?" And I was like, "Oh, it's going to be a lot of hours."
Oh,
you're
that's
like,
right.
I can't
yeah.
do that.
Well, you got to tell me what. You got to tell me.
I told you it was a big
I'm
thing.
I'm a professional. You got to tell me like what is required.
Number one on the Roper Report, technically number two, I guess. Smash Brothers We have some news for you, Smash Brothers fans. I don't know, Smash Brothers? We have some news for you, Smash Brothers. Ooh, I didn't come up with a headline. It's basically an update. Nibel on Twitter was pointing us to Push Destin, who had a translation of a Famitsu column that has been leaked talking about the future of Smash Brothers. This is a column that is talking to Sakurai, and it reads like this. So just the bullet points of it. 6 additional fighters are being made for Smash Ultimate. After that, there are no other plans, so Smash Ultimate is almost finished.
So this will be the last 6. After that, the roster for Ultimate.
According to that, according to this Famitsu column, yeah, that's been translated. Nintendo decided the characters for the DLC. Sakurai did not. While working on Smash Brothers Ultimate, Sakurai can't work on anything else. It's coming to a point where Sakurai won't be able to direct any new game idea. But Sakurai is okay with that. Sakurai wants to keep working to make other people happy. Sakurai and Nintendo aren't planning any future entries in Smash series right now, so he doesn't know what will happen. Adding content to this game, little by little, extends Smash Ultimate's life, so Sakurai plans to give his all for the last 6 fighters.
So, of course, the question is, who do you want out of that last 6? What's on your wish list?
Get Master Chief in there.
Master Chief?
Come on.
Did you ever see that? I guess,
yeah,
why not?
You totally could. Banjo's in there, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, come on. Yeah, you got Snake in there, and not the exact same, but you know, you got Snake in there.
Yeah.
Do this, do your partnership with Xbox, do all that stuff. Do you have people burning on your Smash roster? I'm not that big of a Smash dude.
I'm not. For the last few generations, I've tried to get into it. Ultimate, I gave it a good go.
Yeah.
It's just not my cup of tea. I love it. I love that it's a thing. I love that there's such a competitive scene around it, and it's a big deal, and everyone here in the office loves it. But I'm not good enough at it to enjoy playing it.
Sure.
But I think it's a great thing, and I don't know, I have to think about who I'd want to see. Every now and again, you know, you see just on Twitter or whatever, something, oh, you put this character in Smash Bros. Oh, yeah, that would be great. I don't know. Yeah, I 6 more characters.
Yeah.
Master Chief's a good call, actually. I mean, why not?
Yeah, get him in there. Have
who
some
else
fun.
Is, who else is missing? Nathan Drake?
No, they wouldn't do that.
They
no,
wouldn't do
no,
that?
No, no PlayStation. They're not working close
enough.
Oh,
no, they would never do PlayStation.
Yeah,
right?
yeah.
No Kratos.
Nanobiologist
like
calls out, and you're wrong. To clarify the Sakurai statement, he said this during Smash 4 and during the Ultimate Fighter Pass. The comment isn't anything new. Yeah, that's the thing that goes around, obviously. Every Smash Brothers he talks about is his last. However, he's also been very upfront, I think, with Smash Brothers Ultimate about how grueling this has been and how this is, you know, to what... We're reading into a translated interview through bullet points from somebody else, right? But reading into what he's talking about, right, where he can't work on anything else, it's coming to a point where he won't be able to direct any new game idea. I think there is a real thread to that of, like, how much more Smash Brothers does he want to do? When this is all that dominates your career for so many years right now, right? Because you figure, what? He worked on... So you're going off of Wikipedia, right? Just starting with Smash, right? Super Smash Brothers in 1999, he worked on as a director, right? 2001, Super Smash Brothers Melee director. And then his games go like this. Smash Brothers Melee, Kirby Nightmare and Dreamland. He gets a special thanks in Fire Emblem, The Binding Blade. Kirby Air Ride, Kirby and Amazing Mirror, he's a special advisor. Then it's Meteos, Mushy King, the King of Beetles, whatever the hell that was. And then Super Smash Brothers Brawl, Kid in 2008, Super Smash Brothers Brawl. Kid Icarus Uprising in 2014, Super Smash Brothers for 3DS and Wii U. 2018, Super Smash Brothers Ultimate. So really, what, since 2008, this has been his life? Not including Kid Icarus as a side genre there for him to go do something. I think even as an outsider and talking so much with Tim about Smash, I don't know where Smash Brothers goes from here. Like, this is Smash Brothers Ultimate. Every character is in the game. They added all this content. They're adding all these more people. What do you really do with that? Like, and I know that you could make this argument for most games every time, right? Well, it's the latest iteration of an ongoing series of an IP, so it is the ultimate, right? Uncharted 4 is the ultimate Uncharted 4. They're accomplishing everything they want to do. But I think there is something to this being his ultimate Smash Brothers, that where does he go? He's at the top of the mountain now, and does he have it in him to somehow up this, which is this giant bevy buffet of content?
Who knows? It's too early to say, isn't it? We're still like right in the middle of Smash Ultimate.
Sure, which is crazy to say.
But look, I'll make this prediction with some confidence. This won't be the last Super Smash Brothers game.
100%. Right? I agree with you 100%. I think that... I do think it's... I think for real, I know, again, he says it all the time, but I think this is Sakurai's last. I think it's his last
maybe
Smash Bros. Game.
And that, and that obviously because he's been like the godfather of that game.
Yeah.
That would give it the sense of an ending, right? We feel like, okay, that's the end of that natural thing.
Yeah.
Like, I think they were talking about the Uncharted 5 the other day, but it would be like a different studio.
Yeah, the rumor has been that there's, and this is rumor, that Sony San Diego has a team that might be working on an Uncharted that Naughty Dog is consulting on, but it's not
right.
theirs.
So, you know, Uncharted 4, which was very much meant to be the end of the story.
End of Drake's. Yeah, they were very clear. It's the end of Drake's story.
But also the end of Naughty Dog's story.
Arguably.
So that feels like a natural kind of, you can call that an end, even though the series will continue. Look, again, it's always an economic imperative. It's, as long as Smash Brothers or Uncharted is a way to make money, they will continue to do it. They will only stop when there's no longer any money to
and
be
that's
made.
The thing about it, where I think Smash Brothers Ultimate is going to be the ultimate Smash Brothers for quite some time. I think that it will ride out, obviously, the rest of the Switch's life cycle, I'm sorry.
Do you think there would be one, whatever the next Switch 2 or Switch Pro, whatever you want to call it, whatever the next true generation of Nintendo hardware is, do you think there would be a Smash in that generation?
I think there will, but I think it's more likely you get a port of this at the beginning of it.
Super Smash Brothers Ultimate Deluxe?
Yeah. Right? I don't even know what you call it. Whatever.
Why not?
Super Smash Brothers Ultimate Switch 2 Edition or whatever. Whatever
right.
you call it. If,
right.
If it's not backwards compatible. Because I think so much time, so much love, and so much care has gone into this game that you want to ride that as long as possible.
Right.
I would think deep into the life cycle, and we're totally in hypotheticals and out on a limb here, of whatever the next true Nintendo hardware is, you'd see a new Smash Brothers with a new director. And I think Tim said it before, and I think it's a really smart move to go all the way back. And when you restart this, rather than try to get every character in the world there, have a limited roster. Have like the original N64 roster in there and be like, this is what it is. This is where we're starting from. This is what the game's going to be.
So it's like complete reboot.
Yeah. Yeah. Right.
I mean, I guess I kind of feel like after the getting used to a point where like Super Smash Brothers is kind of defined by the fact that there's this insane, massive roster.
Yeah.
But to go all the way back to like bare essentials, I don't know how the audience would react.
But
that
would be the argument. Like, you already have that. You still have Ultimate. Ultimate's there. Ultimate is Ultimate. It is the Ultimate Edition. It is the Ultimate version of Smash Brothers. We're never going to be able to beat that. So that is what it is. And now we're giving you new Super Smash Brothers. And whatever that means, whatever that looks like, whatever.
Right.
There's an argument. I'm with you, of course, but it's like you might sit there and go, well, sure, but they're going to piss off the audience, they're going to alienate people, yada, yada, yada. Like, Nintendo, while a big corporation, does do different things with their IP, right? Like, you can sit here and be like, well, yeah, they make Mario over and over again. Yeah, but, like, Mario games are not all the same. They've reinvented Mario several different times, right?
Yeah.
To the point that now it's like, well, what kind of Mario are we getting? Are we getting a 2D new Super Mario Brothers? Are we getting a 3D run around the world, do stuff like Sunshine Mario?
Or like a weird Paper Mario kind of sideways move.
Yeah, exactly, exactly.
All kinds of cool stuff.
There's enough room for them to keep giving you, and again, on their next whatever system, give you Ultimate again, maybe with a bell and whistle, maybe not. Maybe it's just like Mario Kart Deluxe where it's just like, hey, here it is. Be happy with it. And then here we go.
Yeah, it's interesting. Like, I think probably more than any other Nintendo franchise, now you mention it, it is the one that feels the most ultimate-y.
Yeah.
Like, I'm totally willing to believe that the next Zelda, the next Mario, the next Mario Kart, the next whatever will do something new and take it to another level. But super, when you look at Ultimate, it does kind of feel like it's hit a ceiling. Like, where do you, like, how do you out-ultimate that?
Exactly.
And so maybe the solution is to, you know, kind of where they got with Call of Duty, they kind of felt like we hit some kind of ceiling. Like,
sure.
What do we do? Well, we go back to the beginning and start over. You know, World War II, Modern Warfare.
Yeah. Number two, more Nintendo news for you. Animal Crossing is getting its own direct tomorrow. Don't get me started. Tune in on February 20th at 6 a.m. Pacific time for a roughly 25.
Oh, do you have to be in for that?
Yeah.
Are we going to do a live?
We don't have to. We get to. We get to be in for
this.
Who's
going to be here at 6 o'clock?
It's me and Joey Noel, and Joey said, it's me and Joey Noel, and Joey said she hit up Kevin, and Kevin was like, sure. But I guess Kevin didn't pay attention.
She most certainly not.
She said there was a conversation.
So you're getting up at like 5 in the morning tomorrow?
I fucking guess.
Tune in February 20th
Animal Crossing.
At 6 a.m. Pacific for a roughly 25-minute live stream Nintendo Crossing.
You could be out there digging fucking holes in the road for a living, Kevin. Instead, you get to do this.
Animal Crossing New Horizons Direct featuring
an
in-depth look at Nook Incorporated's Desert Island Getaway Package. 25 minutes tomorrow, Kev, of me, Joey, nerding out about Animal Crossing.
Oh.
Are you in, Kevin? I will buy you McDonald's breakfast, Kevin.
I know you will, and Paul is real upset that you keep doing that, just so you know. Yeah, I mean, I'm in. I'll do my job.
Oh, hot toasty egg McMuffins and Animal Crossing?
Come on, man. You know what I mean?
What could be better than that?
Sleeping.
Well, you can sleep on the couch afterwards.
Yeah,
you can go home if you want.
Yeah, it's true. Plenty of options.
You got lots of options here.
You're going to love it when that alarm goes it's off just, tomorrow
it's
morning.
Just the last one. What? We did a Pokemon one recently.
Yeah, that was the depressing one.
It was just like, this is a fucking waste of time.
This one is not going to be a fucking waste of time.
This
is Animal Crossing.
This is the last one.
They're idiots. We all know Pokemon is nothing compared to Animal Crossing.
This is a full 25 minutes in depth. It's the last one before the game comes out. This is it.
I'm not talking about the Pokemon one that was made by the Pokemon company. I'm talking about the last Pokemon.
Yeah, where Blessing was excited and then it turned out to be not exciting.
Yeah.
Yeah. All
right.
This is okay to be excited for. It's Animal Crossing.
Okay, sure.
You should be more excited than you are, Kevin.
It's true. Have you thought about that?
I've never played an Animal Crossing game.
Well, maybe if you, you know, educated yourself, you'd get into it.
Let Joey and I's enthusiasm wash over you.
That's right.
I'm Gary, you coming in? You want to come in at 6 a.m.? Come on, Gary, you're thinking about it.
The problem with it is, right now as I sit here, I want to and I want to say yes, but I know for a fucking fact that when the alarm goes off at 5 o'clock tomorrow morning, I'm just fucking turning that off and going, turning over and going back to bed. Going back to sleep.
Yeah.
I would love to do it.
Try
Maybe
it.
I'll surprise you.
Yeah, I was going to say, just try it.
What time would you
I'll
have
buy
to...
you an Egg McMuffin. But
I,
you can just,
I can't eat
you can
it.
Just
I can
eat
only
the
eat the
ham.
Egg and the ham and the cheese. Yeah, I can't eat the bun.
What time am I going to be here?
What time are you going to be here tomorrow morning?
5:45, 5:50.
I mean, I could do it, come back, and still be, you know, ready to take my kid to school.
Totally.
I don't know. I might actually be in it. I might actually be in on it.
Hell yeah, guys. We're getting a crew together. The Animal
you'll
Crossing
know, you'll know. You'll know 5:45 tomorrow. I'll either be here or I won't be.
I hate you.
I like being up at the crack of dawn sometimes. It's nice.
Oh, yeah, totally.
Yeah.
It's just then about 3:30 in the afternoon when you're like, oh, God, what a mistake this was.
I kind of want to do it.
Do it.
But again,
you love Animal Crossing.
But again, the me that's talking to you right now is very different from the me that's responding to a 5:30 alarm tomorrow morning. That's a different guy
different
altogether.
People.
You don't want to.
You
don't
want
to know.
You
do not want to meet that
Gary,
guy.
You
what?
Recently gave me your phone number. If you want, I can call you.
You're going to call me?
Huh?
Why would I want you to do that?
Help you get up.
Well, I've got an alarm for that. I don't need to put you out.
Well, I'm just saying, like.
But
then
you know,
help.
You see Kevin's called you, so you feel indebted to him. You're like, oh shit, I
have
to
go. It's like, hey Gary, I'm outside, and you'll be like, wait, why do you know where I live? And I'll be like, Gary, I know everything.
It's true.
You're not coming to my house. You can call me if you want.
I'm just saying, like, I can make this as easy as you want or as hard as you want.
That's true.
I'm gonna make an effort.
Okay.
I can't make you know me. I can't make any promises, but I would love to be here.
We're partying
why
tonight. I'll be in your ear the whole time.
Why can't this be at a reasonable hour?
Because for the rest of the world, it is. It's us doing our normal thing. What do you mean? It's 9 a.m. in New York. It's what? In London, it's got to be...
Is this
in London,
for,
what? It's 3 p.m.?
Is this suited for Japanese time?
Probably, too.
Is that what it's meant to be?
Yeah, it probably is Japanese time, so it's probably like 11.
It's a better time for the world. We have to make sacrifices once in a while, guys. This is the... Heavy is the crown of the best coast, west coast. All right? We have to look out for the other little time zones. That nobody cares about.
It's true.
They usually get shit all over. Today we get to support
them. It's true.
Think about it this way. Kevin, next time you're at a midnight movie at 9 o'clock our time, think about it. You're winning, all right?
It is sometimes a heavy burden living in the greatest state in the union.
Exactly. You know what I mean?
But it's all worth it.
California
fucking California, baby.
California number one.
What's
better?
I surf to work today.
What is better? Nothing.
Nothing.
Nothing is better than California. It's the best.
Alex Russ points out, the Nintendo Direct where Blessing was upset was with him during the Smash Ultimate Direct where Sakurai was announcing... Byleth, the Fire Emblem
that
character.
That was the one that happened after the Pokemon that I was talking about.
Are there any
That's
predictions?
Two directs that fucked us.
Are there any predictions for what we might see tomorrow in this Animal Crossing direct?
A deep dive in Animal Crossing. The guide is out now. I've been paying attention to my Animal Crossing rumors. The guide is out because there was big, you know. Oh,
man, the book's out?
You're on a deserted island.
I gotta
so
get that book.
People were like,
you know,
oh,
we're buying three copies of it and getting the Animal Crossing. There's gonna be three Switches and three Animal Crossings in
That's
our
awesome.
Household.
Yeah, it's a good game.
We're fucking all in.
Well, we don't know if it's... I mean, Animal Crossing is a good franchise.
It's a great game with which to unwind and forget your troubles and live for a while in a better world than this one. No, that's the best thing I can say
about it.
Gary,
I'm all about stress.
Now, hold on, Kevin. You want stress? I'll tell you about it. Because there's, of course, capitalism involved.
Oh, I love capitalism.
So yeah, you go over to your tree.
You're in crippling debt from the minute you start playing that game.
See, that's scary.
But no, you go to your tree and you shake the trees in your world, right? Cherries fall out, right? Guess what? I don't have cherries in my world. You come to my world, you sell me some cherries or whatever. I trade you some bells. We're all in business. You know what I mean?
Yeah, it's very capitalist.
Exactly. You're getting fruits that I don't got. You're finding fossils. You're going to the museum, turning them.
That was where
I was driving, by the way. The rumor is the museum is back. It is there, even though you're on a deserted island or whatever.
I love museums.
I know you do. You get to put the fossils in.
Do you
like catching bugs? Do you like fishing? We're doing it all.
You know I like fishing.
I know.
You could say that Animal Crossing is even Ayn Randian in its philosophy. It's like no
like
fuckers
Anthem?
And what?
Anthem, you know the Ayn Rand short?
No, I don't know that one. Oh, I know I know, you know, Atlas Shrugged and shit like that. Yeah. I'm just saying that this game could be argued. There's probably a very nice think piece to be written in fucking Kotaku or some shit about this.
Yeah, yeah.
Because in the world of Animal Crossing, no one's going to give you a bailout. You gotta make your own fortune. You gotta do it for yourself. Only the strong survive, and the weak must be crushed.
I love it.
Yeah.
Groovy Muse writes in with a question at patreon.com/kindoffunnygames and says, "My question is about entitlement in the gaming community, specifically the Nintendo community. Take a look at Nintendo's tweet announcing the Animal Crossing Direct, and you see endless replies of people wishing we were getting news about other things. Then we count the days since we received a general Nintendo Direct, 167 now. Are we gamers just entitled, spoiled brats when it comes to knowing what the next big news is? Or are we truly deserving as consumers to know what a company's plan truly is?"
Yeah.
Gary, voice of the consumer.
If I have to pick one of those two, I'm going with spoiled brats.
Yeah, of course.
Of course we are.
Yeah.
And there's nothing wrong with that. That's what we are. It's video games. You're allowed to be, you know, if you're a spoiled brat out there in the world, you know, being an asshole, then that's one thing. But if you're just kind of complaining about, hey, you know, I haven't heard about a new Nintendo game in a while, that's your God-given right.
Is it? I mean, like, I want to go that far, right? It's like not understanding.
Are you saying that you don't have the right to complain?
I mean, you have the right to do whatever the fuck you want, man. God-given rights, you know what I'm saying?
Right.
But the problem here is, like, that still makes you an asshole. Like,
does
yeah,
it?
Like, yeah.
I guess it matters the manner in which you complain.
The problem, as we all know and hate, is that Twitter and social media and the internet just shine the light on how many assholes are out there. Where it's like, these people have always been there, right? When we were growing up, there were still this many people probably mad they didn't know about more Nintendo shit, but they just didn't have a place to post these thoughts for me to see them. And now I get excited about my Animal Crossing Direct and I look in the comments and everybody's being a douchebag because I want to hear about Metroid Prime 4.
I don't mind it when people complain about 167 days and whatnot. I've seen that in the past week or two. I just wish it was balanced out more. I wish there was more gratitude in the community.
Point.
Entitlement's okay. It's okay to complain and bitch and moan and whine, but like show some gratitude as well. Like, I wish we spent more time, and I'll just use Nintendo as an example, but you can extrapolate this out into anything. I wish we spent more time talking about and being grateful for the things that we have rather than complaining about the things that we don't have.
Sure.
The Switch is a fucking modern marvel, and it has incredible games on it. If I were to take the Nintendo Switch and travel back in time 10 years or so,
yeah,
and put that in your hand and say, this is what you're going to be playing in 10 years, it would blow your fucking mind. And we have it now. It's a real thing out in the world. But we instantly just take it for granted. Oh, the Switch doesn't do this, it doesn't do that.
I feel like 10 years, is that not...
2010. You know,
is that PSP?
Yeah.
I mean, I feel like, oh, big PSP, nice.
Are you seriously comparing the PSP to the Switch? Because that's a joke.
You're on thin ice right there. All
right,
we watch what you're fucking saying right now.
Are you
right?
Kidding right now? PSP is one of the best consoles ever made.
Yeah, how's it doing?
It did great. It did its job for us.
So where's the PSP 2?
Where's the Switch 2, big man?
You know it's coming.
We don't know shit.
There's gonna be a Switch 2.
You asked me 10 years ago, where's the PSP 2? I'll be like, oh, it's fucking coming.
But it ain't.
I mean, I didn't know that back then, is what I'm saying. And you don't know that now.
Switch is here because of the PSP, all right?
No, the Switch is here because of the Wii and the Wii U.
No.
3DS.
Somebody was playing...
Everything. It's here because of video games. There's a trajectory.
Somebody was playing the PSP with an NES emulator, and they're like, this is cool.
Yeah, I mean, if you have to say the Switch is here because of anything, you got to go back to the Game Boy.
Yeah. I'm on the right page. We're fucking around. Calm down. Don't get all defensive. We're all having a good time here. Everybody's having fun.
Kevin's totally fucking derailed this conversation. I just want to get it back to the
entitled babies on
the grassroots.
Got it.
We should be more grateful for the wonderful things that we have.
Craig Diller writes into You're Wrong and says, Greg bitched and moaned so much about Patapon that they finally released it. It's empowered us complainers on Twitter. Craig Diller knows.
Yeah, they changed Sonic the Hedgehog.
Yeah.
You know?
But
this fucking Snyder Cut bullshit that's going around.
Oh,
like,
let's see if we can change the world.
COVID-19
you know what I mean?
Of fan entitlement.
Coney 19.
That's what it is. It's a disease. But it affects the brain.
The long
it gives
short
you delusions.
Is, there's
crazy delusions.
Everyone knows that when I was doing my Patapon rants and stuff, I'm having a good time. I'm doing a bit. We're having a great time around here. All right. Nobody was like, it wasn't like fucking PlayStation was at home.
How much
like,
do
oh,
you,
God,
in
really
all,
mad
in all
at
seriousness,
me.
How much do you think you ranting about Patapon actually contributed to that happening?
Not much. The game was done, right? It had to be almost done. I still have not heard off the record, on the record, what the fuck happened.
I mean,
to
you
it.
Are an influencer.
Sure. But I've tried to will a lot of things into existence. I guess I do occasionally will things into existence. But again, there's a difference between being like, hey, we love this thing and we want it, versus, hey, fuck you, Nintendo.
What
I don't want to hear about Animal Crossing.
What was that Vita game you willed into existence you apologized for?
Borderlands 2 on the Vita. I am responsible for that as well. I also got him to change Infamous's costume, and Cole's costume in Infamous 2. I digress.
Wow. The power that you wield.
Let's talk. Oh, yeah.
No one man should have all that
power. I can get Oreos for free in nobody's business.
You said they brought back the mega stuff.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
The most stuff or whatever it's
called. Yeah. Like, they're both out there because they're doing this whole campaign of like, which stuff do you like the best? So they have like a whole thing. But no, you are right. You have the right idea. Be grateful for what we have. Be nice. Be grateful to the developers.
It's okay to talk about the things you don't like, but I really wish we spent more time thinking about and expressing gratitude for the things that we have, because we take too much for granted in this life.
Yeah, you know who isn't taking things for granted? THQ Nordic. Let's talk about them and the number three news story of the day. There's two different THQ Nordic-y stories. Of course, you know THQ Nordic and their parent company, because they keep buying different game developers and then buying different IP and then not releasing any of them. You know what I mean, Gary?
It's crazy.
The first one here is going to be from Hayden Taylor at GamesIndustry.biz. The parent company of THQ Nordic, which, if you remember, used to be called THQ Nordic AB, but changed its name to the Embracer Group, has bought Saber Interactive. Embracer Group has acquired World War Z developer Saber Interactive in a deal worth $525 million.
That's a lot of money.
That's a lot. That's almost double what Sony paid for Insomniac.
How does that stack up?
What do you mean?
I mean, is Saber Interactive worth twice as much as Insomniac?
I'll leave it to you to decide.
I mean, the good people at Embracer Group obviously think so.
Formerly THQ Nordic AB, the company rebranded as Embracer Group in August 2019. The group has made multiple acquisitions in recent years, snapping up small and large companies alike. However, the Saber Interactive deal is the company's largest spending splurge so far, offering $150 million upfront and another $375 million over 3 years based on performance.
Where is all this Embracer money coming from?
The Nords.
The Nords?
Founded in 2001, the U.S.-based Saber Interactive has since grown to around 600 staff across five internal studios.
Oh, wow.
And last year grossed over $100 million. Saber Interactive will become the fifth subsidiary of... I screwed it up because it wasn't where I wanted it to be.
What else have they done? Because World War Z is the only thing mentioned there, but they must have...
They helped out with the Ghostbusters remaster, I do believe, too. Saber Interactive will become the fifth subsidiary of Embracer Group, though it will maintain autonomy. I know how to do that one. And there are no planned restructuring or cost-saving measures. Matthew Karch and Andre Iones... Saber Interactive co-founders and owners will jointly become Embracer Group's second largest shareholder. James Batchelor at GamesIndustry.biz had a separate article up here talking about what this actually means, right? This is just two paragraphs from it. Thanks to recent acquisitions and openings, Embracer Group now has 26 wholly and majority-owned development studios. That's more than the 10 it owned or had a controlling stake in this time last year. I'm going to read that again. That's more than the 10 it owned or had a controlling stake in this time last year.
So they bought 16 companies in the last 12 months.
The figure was revealed by CEO Lars Wingfors at the company's
financial
results.
I want to
get
Lars Wingfors on this show because I have so many fucking questions.
This has been my thing forever, where they keep buying IP and developers, and then what are you doing with them? So remember, Embracer Group is this. It's THQ Nordic. It's Koch Media.
I don't know how you say it.
Koch, Koch,
Koch. Let's say Koch because that's the funniest.
Gotcha. Koch. Koch. Like the Koch brothers, right? And they're bad guys, right? All right. Well, but they're... Huh?
They have very, like, self-interest.
One of them's dead, right?
Yeah.
Recently. One of them just died.
Yeah. Was it a coronavirus? Okay. Coffee Stain Holding, Deep Silver, and then others. So then, that's like, I know this is confusing, right? Embracer Group has THQ Nordic, right? Then THQ Nordic is this, right? THQ Nordic is a Vienna-based game publisher and developer that includes Grimlore Games, which is in Germany. Rainbow Studios Incorporated in Arizona. Mirage Game Studios in Sweden. Black Forest Games in Germany. Pisces Interactive AB in Sweden. Experiment 101 AB in Sweden. Bugbear Entertainment in Finland. Piranha Bytes in Germany. Gunfire Games in Austin, Texas. Nine Rocks Games in Slovakia. Handy Games in Germany. Reading off of the THQ Nordic website, they have their mission statement like this. THQ Nordic is meant to represent a core approach of doing much more than owning a highly competitive portfolio of IPs. It revolves around cherishing them and aligning them with the very best development resources to expand upon them with a level of experience that communities and established fan bases expect and deserve. Because again, THQ Nordic, the ones who got Time Splitter, THQ Nordic, the one who are doing SpongeBob SquarePants and Barrett all excited. What the hell, man?
I want to read like the long read article on Lars Wingfors, who by the way has an amazing name, and just this massive, I don't even know what you call it, expansion
catalog,
conglomeration, assimilation.
Cock Media is not related to the Koch brothers.
Right.
Okay. Oh, no, I didn't mean it like that. I'm sorry. I was just saying. Cock, Coach, Keech, Bach. You know what I mean?
It doesn't matter.
Because there was definitely a girl I went to high school with whose name was Coke, like this, but they called her Cock. And I don't mean like she called herself Cock. You know what I mean? she personally identified as Cock. Just putting it out there what I know.
I'm real confused.
I just want to know where all the money's coming from. Like the $520, the half a billion dollars that went to buy Saber Interactive.
Right.
Where's that money coming from?
Oh, and Saber also worked on the Witcher 3 port.
Okay.
I'm looking through more of this stuff over here.
For the Switch?
Yeah. Oh, man. By the end, this is back to the Lars conversation, right? By the end of December, this is last year, the firm had 2,258 internal and external developers, 52% more than by the end of the same quarter last year. Its portfolio includes 96 titles in development across its various businesses, of which 52 are unannounced. Wingfors continued, the ambition is still to have at least two AAA games ready for release in the next financial year. This is our plan, but it would be prudent to reiterate the message that we can never be completely sure of development schedules and deadlines.
Who is Lars Wingfors? That's the story I want to read. I imagine this guy's sitting there with a fucking collapsing sun behind him, like the fucking elusive man from Mass Effect.
Sure, yeah, 100%.
Is this guy like the most powerful man in games business, and we don't know it? Like, what is going? He's quietly just fucking acquiring everything.
I think it's them. He's the quietest man making the biggest gamble. Because I look at this, and I've said it from the beginning. I don't get what THQ Nordic is up to, what now Embracer Group is up to. They keep doing this, but not producing things. Like, and granted, I know Darksiders Genesis, stuff like that. There's little things that are coming out that I'm not saying they've put out no games. But it is this thing of, remember, it was a big deal when they got Kingdoms of Amalur, Kingdoms of Amalur Reckoning, I fucking adore, right? And when they announced they got that IP. And it's like, that's awesome, but like, it was the game I loved, and that's still with EA, right? Like, are you getting, how is any of this?
I don't know what arcanery is going on behind the scenes, but I'm fascinated by it, and I want to learn more. I want Lars Wingfors on this show for an in-depth one-on-one with you.
Okay, let's get him in here.
You can hit
let's
him with it. The hard questions.
Yeah, it's one of those things that tomorrow, I could see a headline that's just like, hey, THQ Nordic's bankrupt. And I'd be like, well, no shit.
The first question you should ask him is, hey, Lars, would you be interested in buying Kinda Funny for a shitload of money?
Sure, yeah. Well.
And you can fucking cash out and go home. Enjoy retirement. Sitting on a beach earning 20% for the rest of your life.
We could finally stop.
We could finally get out of this.
No, I would be out.
Mess.
You'd still have to be here.
No.
You'd still have to be here at 6 a.m., Gary and Joey and Lars. That's going to be the Animal Crossing direct tomorrow.
Just so you know how these deals go down, the personality stays.
But I'm also guy who has the fucking shares and shit.
Oh, come on. Anytime these things happen,
I would have to stay for a little bit.
5-year contract.
Yeah, I'd have to stay for that.
He would have to stay for a bit. You could fuck off right away. You could take your payoff and go.
Exactly.
I'll see you in fucking Bali.
Yeah,
if they're making me stay here 5 years, I'm making you sign the same deal for 5 years, all right? I'm not fucking sitting here. Lars over there flipping switches, can't get the goddamn stream working. Be like, Lars, why'd you let Kevin go? He's like, I don't know, I'm going to make a $300 million offer on somebody for Alexios from IGN.
And once Lars does a full, once his people do their full due diligence and realize, as no one else around here seems to realize, just how fucking important and critical I am to the success of Kinda Funny.
No, that's true.
I'm finally going to get fucking paid what I deserve, which is a lot more than the fucking pittance you pay me right now, I'll tell you that much.
You're getting paid?
I mean, I honestly don't even think it qualifies as getting paid.
I don't think I've never qualified what you do as work. So.
Let me tell you something, Kevin.
Oh shit!
When I come here every
it got
Wednesday,
serious. I don't know. It got serious.
The money,
in the heart attack.
The 2 hour parking that I pay for outside.
Gary,
is
the one block away is free parking.
That's a block away.
What am you're I trying to like? Lose weight.
What do I look
but
like
also,
to you?
You're a block away. You park a block away. I can't see your car right now if I look out there.
But it's easy. It's convenient for me to park there. There's
but
not
it,
a point.
It
you're
is
missing
it.
The point, Kevin. There's not a point I'm
no,
making.
No, you can't come here and be like, "Hey, I have to pay for parking." And I can't
I'm not
be
saying
like,
I have to pay for parking.
All right, well, then go ahead.
I'm saying I choose to pay for parking. The point I'm trying to make, if you let me finish, is that the money that I pay for parking is a non-significant percentage of what I get paid to be here. So you do the math.
I mean, parking in San Francisco is absurdly expensive.
It is expensive.
It could be upwards to hundreds of dollars.
I could be paying...
I don't know. Dozens.
Yeah. For all the rubes out there who don't live in San Francisco, they're imagining me putting like feeding $20 bills into a parking meter. Could be. I mean, that's what this city is nuts like that.
Yeah.
What do we do? Oh, gaming news. That's right.
Believe it or not, there's still more from THQ Nordic.
Really?
That was
have
the thing. The Saber Interactive.
Did they buy us?
No, not while we're doing that. Instead.
Was Lars watching going, you know what? I should buy it. I haven't bought anything in the last 5 minutes. Bring me my phone. Buy that shit.
Bring me my phone. And
make Greggy an offer he can't refuse.
Take me to patreon.com/kindoffunny. I'll sponsor them to buy them.
Yeah.
No.
Lars has basically Patreoned at the fucking Zeus level. And now just owns Kind of Funny.
No, what is happening, THQ Nordic, again, THQ Nordic now, the developers that it's owned by, the Embracer, whatever the hell group it is. What is it? Embracer Group. They announced today they are, in fact, going to make a Gothic remake. Their press release reads like this. After unambiguous feedback, THQ Nordic will head into full production on the Gothic remake. The next step is to set up a Barcelona-based studio and head into main production. Just a little over 2 months after releasing a playable teaser for the Gothic remake and asking the players for their feedback, the answer is clear. The fans are up for a new, quote-unquote, old Gothic game, and the vast majority, read 94.8%, was in favor to develop a remake of the iconic German RPG Gothic, originally released in 2001. Over 180,000 players have played the playable teaser so far. On the evening of February 16th, 2020, THQ Nordic took the survey offline and hereby publicly releases the raw data of the survey, as well as highlight graphs, well, that period, with more than 43,000 answered surveys and over 9,000, yes, really, reviews on Steam and various discussions on all social media platforms. There is enough data to check. THQ Nordic will establish a new studio. They have all these studios. They will establish a new studio based in Barcelona, Spain, and will then assess what players liked and what they want to be different than the playable teaser. One of the most common mentions, for example, was the demand for a grittier, less colorful world. Here is an example of what could be tweaked. Quote, we are up for the challenge to develop a full Gothic remake, which will stay as faithfully as possible to the original experience and transport the atmospheric world of Gothic into a high-quality look and carefully modernizing certain gameplay mechanics, said Reinhardt Police, Business and Product Development Director at THQ Nordic. The full Gothic remake will go into production and will be available for PC and next-gen consoles. There is no release window available yet, but it will not be coming in 2020. I have said from the beginning, I don't get what THQ Nordic is doing, but goddamn do I respect it. Who puts out a press release like this?
It's so weird.
Hey, the Gothic fans that played our Gothic demo really liked it, so we're going to make it. We own all these fucking studios. We'll make a new studio. Here is an example of how this could be tweaked. Like, what? What are you talking about? Just releasing their surveys? Like, you know what I mean? And then
there's no release
window available yet, but it will not be coming in 2020. You don't even have the studio made yet. No one thought it was coming this year.
It's like they picked 100 random people from like random gaming forums and just gave them $50 billion and said, do whatever the fuck you want. And because this would be
buying
the result.
IPs, buying IPs, yeah. Making little things.
But not just, but like obscure, weird IPs.
Yeah. And they're going to make money on it. They're
gonna building do, they're studios do it. In Barcelona. It's nuts.
It's
I got to
We got to get Lars
We got to get Lars on the show. I want Lars in the hot seat. I gotta know what's going on behind the scenes. I want to get inside the mind of Lars Wingfors.
I gotta know. It's just fascinating.
It's
everything
brilliant.
They do is so fascinating, and they just don't give a fuck, and I respect it so much.
I wonder if it's like a
we'll buy that. Whatever, we're gonna have that
game.
It's then.
Like a Brewster's Millions kind of thing or something. I mean, there's like only so many explanations.
They buy developers and game IP and start studios like you imagine Bruce Wayne does in comic books, like when he's like buying hotels or banks, you know what I mean?
Yeah, it's like an Inception when he goes, I just bought the airline. Like, it's, you know, it's this is the level that we're playing at.
Yeah,
Lars Wingfors is clearly a fucking a titan, a colossus straddling the world of video games. He's a god amongst men, and I want to know more about him. Is there a picture of him, Kevin? Can you, if you Google him and pull up images?
All right, what's this guy's name?
Lars.
Okay, I got that.
Wingfors.
W-I-N-G-E-F-O-R-S, I think, if I'm remembering correctly.
I mean, no.
Pull up a picture. Because he must look like someone that was built in a fucking lab or something, like to create like the ultimate human specimen or something. Because this guy's a fucking... Oh, look at him.
Wait,
okay.
Hold on. Let's
confirm. No, that's Lars... That's Lars...
That's not him. That's
Lars,
not him.
Windhorst. All right,
good. What is his name?
Okay. W-I-N-G...
Okay.
E... Okay, there you go. Lars Wingfors, the first one up.
Okay.
Don't do the net worth part, though. Because that's always bullshit.
I got it.
Yeah, I mean, look, he looks like a fucking badass. Look at him. He looks like he could kick your ass.
I don't even need to see a photo of him to know he can kick my ass.
He also picked a great jacket for his eyes.
He looks relatively young.
You know what I mean?
He looks like he's in his 30s.
This is off of the Embracer Group Wikipedia.
Is this? Can people see this on the screen? I want people to be able to.
They could a minute ago. You want me to keep?
Oh, okay. No, I just.
Here comes. Let me give you some information. You want to know information about it? I'm going to give you information about it. Right? Okay. At an early age, Swedish entrepreneur Lars Wingfors began successfully selling a diverse range of products, including Christmas magazines and plastic bags.
See, and this is why I'm a self-made man. That's what I love about this.
I'm all about this, dude.
Selling plastic bags to basically owning a sizable percentage of the entire games.
And
industry.
When he was 13 years old, he founded LW Comics, a company that sold secondhand comic books. He established a business as a mail order company using a 2000 entry customer register he had acquired from another defunct mail order company. The company made close to 300,000 KR annually. At age 16, Wingfors established a second company, Nordic Games. At 16! Which it did the same at LW Comics, though with used games instead of comics. In its first year, the company generated 5 million KR in revenue. With growing income throughout the 1990s, Nordic Games was turned into a retail chain in the same vein as British video game retail company Game and opened 7 stores across Sweden. The company also acquired Spell and Telly Shoppen, a game shop in Sweden that had been founded by some other guy you don't know. Towards the end of the 1990s, Nordic Games was suffering from a poor corporate structure, and Wingfors was asked to either seek new partners or bring in venture capital. Though, he instead opted to sell the company to Gameplay Stockholm, the Swedish subsidiary of the Gameplay.com. When the dot-com bubble burst, Gameplay faced financial issues, and Nordic Games was sold back to Wingfors in May 2001 for a symbolic sum of 1 KR. At the time, the equivalent to GB pound of 0.07, 7 cents. Wingfors brought in venture capitalists and reformed the company to only sell newly released games, and the company faced strong competition. Holy fuck, this guy's
a fucking legend. You know what, Greg? There's an opportunity here. GDC's coming up. He might be in town. You got to fucking get him in here.
He's too fucking cool to hang out with us. You can smell it. You know what I mean?
We got to get Lars in here.
We all
have to wear suits.
You got to at least make an effort. Yeah, you're gonna fucking want to clean this place up before he comes over.
I mean,
he's not gonna buy you if it's looking like this.
Oh, I mean, he'll see the potential. We have a space.
Get down
to
Home Depot, Kevin. Get some paint and start cleaning this place up.
Where is the?
Because I'm telling you, if you play your cards right here, you could be fucking jet skiing in Fiji by the end of the year for Christmas. Christmas in Fiji. How's that sound? Courtesy of Mr. Lars Wingfors.
Well, we were trying to go to the Maldives, but...
Number 4 on the rope report!
Go wherever the fuck you want! The point is you're going to be rolling in it!
Dangerous Driving 2 has been announced, Gary. Three Fields Entertainment, the independent British studio led by industry veterans Fiona Speary and Alex Ward, are proud to announce Dangerous Driving 2, the sequel to last year's thrilling arcade racer, is coming to PC, PlayStation 4, Xbox One, and... Oh, including Xbox One X, and for the first time, Nintendo Switch in holiday 2020. Fans attending PAX East in Boston on February 27, 2020 through March 1st can get their hands on with Dangerous Driving 2 during its debut at the show, including an exclusive first look at the game running on Nintendo Switch. You were a big fan of this, right?
Well, Let me say this. I'm glad to hear this news because, as you know, I'm a big Burnout fan. Last week on the show, we talked about when Blessing was here. We were talking about Need for Speed and Burnout, and how I wish they would just bring back Burnout. That's what I really want to see. It doesn't look like EA is going to do that. And you know, some of the former Criterion developers went off and created Three Fields because they wanted. They was like, fuck it, if EA's not going to let us make Burnout, we'll just do it our own way. So they went and created Dangerous Driving, which is, you know, I think like a $20 game, is a cheap game. I bought it because, like, yeah, the Burnout developers, Burnout vibe, like, I'm in. The game's not. The first game was not brilliant. It was a bit rough. It looked like what it was, like a cheap game from an indie studio. It looked okay, but it didn't have that EA Criterion level of polish. Yeah. It was a bit rough around the edges. It wasn't very fully featured. But I'm glad that it's been assumed successful enough that they're now going to do the second one, which would be bigger. The only thing that I don't love is, I don't remember if it was in this story or someone else, that it's going to be, I think they're going for open world.
Oh, are they?
Which, if that's the case, I'm not thrilled about that. I don't like open world driving games.
You didn't like Burnout Paradise?
I liked it, but it's not. I liked it in spite of the fact that it was open world, not because it was.
See, that's what got me into it. And when I say into it, I mean I played for like 10 hours or whatever.
In these open world, and I know that they have systems now to mitigate it, like warp to the next thing or whatever, but there's too much fucking driving around trying to figure out where like the start line for the next event is or something. Like, just put me at the start line. I don't want to fuck around in a driving game. I want to race.
I'm on a Stephen Tailby article here from Push Square about this announcement today. The sequel will take place in a, quote, dynamic open world where you can play against AI opponents, cruise in free drive mode, and enjoy the emergent crash mechanics with huge multi-vehicle pileups.
All right.
Online play will return, but split-screen multiplayer will also be included.
I'm in. Holiday 2020. If I'm not in Fiji or the Maldives with you, Kevin.
Yeah.
I'll be playing. I mean, look, it's on the Switch. I can fucking play it in the Maldives.
Woo!
On my jet ski.
All right.
I'm going to spend some of my Lars money, and I'm going to get a fucking hat.
Wait, how are you getting money from Lars?
Because I'm part of the Kind of Funny fucking magic recipe. You take me out of it, and I'm telling you, Lars is instantly going to go like, well, what am I buying then? If you take out one of the key elements, don't worry, Kevin. I'm going to get my fucking rake off. I'm getting what's coming to me. I'm going to get paid.
Oh, goodness gracious. Gary, I can't wait to see what Lars and company buy next. But their next purchase is still so far away. If I wanted something more immediate, say what came to the mom and grop shops, where would I go?
The official list of upcoming software across each and every platform as listed by the Kind of Funny Games Daily Show hosts each and every weekday.
Yeah. Out today, that Witcher 3.6 update we talked about yesterday is officially out. It adds touch control support. This is to the Switcher, obviously, on Switch. But it also adds that integration where you can bring over your GOG, Steam, and Switch versions. And
I wish that was also compatible with other console versions.
Sure, yeah, that'd be
maybe,
cool.
Maybe they'll add that next, I don't know.
We'll see who gets in the way, right? This is the conversation we were having yesterday that we think, you know, Switch isn't a competitor to PC, but whereas a PlayStation 4 and Xbox is
that.
A competitor.
I get that.
Yeah, yeah. There's also a whole bunch of other things like languages and graphic options and yada, yada, yada.
It's just a miracle to me that game runs on the Switch at all.
Right.
You know?
Yeah. Skull, the Hero Slayer, is on PC. The Suicide of Rachel Foster is on PC. Lost Artifacts is on Xbox One. Bunny Parking is on Xbox One. 3000th Duel is on Switch. Taggy.io is on PC. Shadows of Larth is on PC. Rami Woe is on PC. And then No Man's Sky is getting the Living Ship update. Kevin, your ship can now be something you hatch from an egg. So you have that going for you.
Wait, for reals?
Yep. New dates for you. Bombing Quest is coming to early access on Steam March 4th. Element Space lands on the PlayStation 4, Xbox One March 24th. Sorry. PS4 exclusive hero shooter Wolfrain releases digitally on March 3rd. Stella is coming to Nintendo Switch and Steam on March 13th. Deliver Us, The Moon is set to touchdown worldwide April 24th for PlayStation 4 and Xbox One. Fans of the Nintendo Switch will get it later in the summer. And then Virtua Verse is coming to PC and Mac and Linux on May 12th. Right?
Anything there jump out at you?
Oh, no. No, no.
Bunny parking? What is that?
I don't know. Kevin, you want to find me a bunny parking?
Kevin, can you pull bunny parking?
Yeah. Real quick, Andy Cortez walked in. He's getting ready for KFAF, but he's also eating the chips I brought in. Get on this microphone. Tell people how good these Deep River Snacks, New York spicy dill pickle chips
are.
Is
this a sponsorship? Or
I went
things.
To a sandwich shop in SF a couple days ago.
I see these all the time, these dill pickle flavored chips.
I blind bought them. Blind bought these chips. I buy dill chips all the time.
Do you like dill pickles?
Yeah, I love them.
Okay.
Bought this bag of chips, ate them before I got my sandwich, went back, bought another bag of chips, went home, ordered a box of chips.
I saw the picture, yeah.
Dude, yeah, these are the best dill pickle chips I've ever had.
I'm pretty blown away by this. So very, very crunchy, kettle style. A little bit of a spice, not overly bare, not overbearing, right?
But do they actually taste like dill pickle?
I mean,
I can't have one, but I'll take your word for it.
Allergic,
yeah.
smell the bag.
Allergic to pickle, or what's going on?
No, he's on the no carb thing.
Pickles aren't carbs.
You're a genius.
He's got you there, Gary. He's got you there.
I got.
Are pickles not carbs? I don't know. Nobody else.
All right.
So this is Bunny Parking. Kevin found for us on Xbox One out today. It's an achievement walkthrough, so you know it's one of my kind of Garbo games. Oof, look at those textures popping as they go.
What's going on here?
And now
what's wrong with the internet here? Okay.
Well, we're streaming and everything sucks here.
Okay, this looks a bit rough.
That's one way of saying it.
Can you pull the suicide of Rachel Foster? Because that sounds like it might be interesting. That sounds like it might be like a
Kevin, while a game you do with, that, with a, and we see the Bunny Park, theme. Let me tell you about our sponsors. I'm going to start with Hims. You've heard us talk about Hims before and how they're helping guys look their best. If you haven't, it's time to see what they're all about. 66% of men start to lose their hair by age 35, and the thing is, once you start to notice thinning hair, it can be too late. The best way to prevent more hair loss is to do something while you still have hair. 4hims.com is a one-stop shop for hair loss, skincare, sexual wellness, and more for men. It's time to write a new chapter, one in which you have hair. Andy and Nick are both using Hims right now, and I can tell you straight up, they have some of the best hair in the office. I definitely mean that for Andy. He taught me to start putting mine up more. And look at this thing I got going on. This isn't a Hims thing, but Andy just knows hair. So if Andy's is saying Hims is great, there you go. Hims is helping guys be the best version of themselves with licensed physician and FDA-approved products to help treat hair loss. No snake oil pills or gas station counter supplements. These are prescription solutions backed by science. Dive into 2020 hair first. Right now, our listeners can get started with their first month free. Go to 4hims.com/gamesdaily. That's 4hims.com/gamesdaily. The prescription requires an online consultation with a physician who will determine if a prescription is appropriate. The offer is valid only if prescribed. 3-month minimum subscription. Additional restrictions apply. See the website for full details and important safety information. Remember, that's 4hims.com/gamesdaily. Up next, it's Quip. Quip, makers of the Quip electric toothbrush, want you to know there's one single discovery that matters most for your dental care. It's simply this, that if you have good habits, you're good. That means brushing for 2 minutes twice a day and flossing regularly, no matter what brand you use. Quip makes that simple, starting with an electric toothbrush, refillable floss, and anti-cavity toothpaste. Quip's electric toothbrush has sensitive sonic vibrations with a built-in timer and 30-second pulses to guide for a full and even clean. The Quip floss dispenser comes out with pre-marked string to help you use just enough. Plus, Quip delivers fresh brush heads, floss, and toothpaste refills to your door every 3 months with free shipping, so your routine is always right. Join over 3 million healthy miles and get Quip today, starting at $25. And if you go to getquip.com/games right now, you'll get your first refill free. That's your first refill free at getquip.com/games. That's getquip.com/games. Quip, the good habits company. Kevin, did you find Rachel's suicide for Gary?
Oh,
he wants a real
that.
Uplifting video.
I mean, it sounds like it could be one of those, like, you know, like a serious kind of depression quest kind of thing. Maybe I'm always interested when people try things like that.
The suicide.
I mean,
Rachel,
I don't know. I don't know what it is. That's what I'm curious to learn.
I would think it's. I'm guessing it's like a first person narrative thing. Like,
okay, here it is.
Like a Gone Home.
Like you probably got like a you Gone Home, figure out the mystery kind of thing.
Yeah.
Okay, let's check it out. Daedalic.
Yeah.
Yeah.
13th season publishing.
Man, those chips are really good.
Right?
That's some good chips. Good job, Greg.
Thanks, buddy. Always happy to bring you happy chips.
The bad weather crossing Montana is amassing all the characteristics of an atypical storm.
If you're an audio listener, we're driving through a windy, wintry wonderland.
Okay.
Looks like... a joke? Oh, yeah. All right, first person, telling you.
Feels kind of Gone Home, right?
Yeah. Or it's that or like Silent Hillsy, right? Or like it's going to get like creepy here.
Is entirely your property.
Maybe you gained weight.
It's called growing up.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not seeing any gameplay yet. This all looks pre-rendered.
Yeah.
Cassette tapes. I'm going to set all that in the past.
It's like I said, it's none of this mystery.
Why is it going so slowly? It's all framey. You'll be able to
leave soon and go back. Probably our performance, no? Oh, there you go. Bam. That's going to get creepy.
Now we're in a scary, shining hotel. Church.
Sorry.
Yeah, see, it's getting creepy now. It's getting creepy.
Yeah.
Okay, now we're walking around.
This isn't a suicide. This is a murder. All right.
So you're investigating a mystery. It's creepy.
Very good.
This is the kind of stuff that my wife really likes. She might be in. She might be interested in this.
Hit her up, man. There you go. Yeah,
what is it? It just came out on what? Xbox?
PC.
PC.
Suicide of Rachel Foster.
Okay.
All right, anyways.
Could be good.
Gary, we put some required readings on here. I want to make sure we promote before we get out of here. You ready?
Yeah.
Well, first off, I guess squad up. If you, ladies and gentlemen, you can write into patreon.com/kindoffunnygames. Give me your name, username, platform of choice. Why are you helping a video game? I read it here. The best friends come and find you and play games together. Today, Ricky McFly needs help in The Division on PC. Division 2. You can get him on PC at Ricky McFly. Two Y's in McFly. What's up, y'all? After a long week of work and other obligations, I love to chill with a glass of wine and play some games. Lately, I've jumped back on Division 2, and it's been really fun getting back into it. There are a few Kind of Funny clans on PC with some open slots and that are almost at max rank. Just search Kind of Funny in the clan menu and join one. We've got a few weeks until Warlords of New York and Gear 2.0 drop, so let's get to work, agents. If you want to play a PC version of Division 2 with Ricky McFly, hit him up. RickyMcFly. Gary, required readings we brought to the table today.
All right.
We started, you hit me up about one, right? The Polygon article.
I texted you this morning about
Colin
it, yeah.
Campbell wrote over there, GameStop employees report extreme pressure from desperate bosses. However, I then noticed IGN had a very similar big old narrative expose thing come out today from Logan Plant that says the truth about working at GameStop, workers reveal their experiences. So first off,
are they connected or was that coincidental?
Coincidence, I think. Yeah, no, not that I know, because it was their own reporting of, hey, we went and talked to a whole bunch of GameStop employees, managers, and here's what's going on.
Mm-hmm.
Obviously, we've talked a lot here on Kind of Funny Games Daily about everything that's been going on with GameStop. You know, falling stock prices, closing stores, what's going on, how much longer do they have? These are both alarming reports from the inside, correct?
Yeah, I mean, good reporting as always by Colin Campbell. I read his piece earlier this morning. I just found out about the IGN piece, but that sounds. Very indeed, like required reading.
It's
like proper reporting. It's like going out, you know, good old fashioned shoe leather reporting, talking to people, finding out what it's like on the front lines.
Yeah.
And listen, I mean, I've only ever been a customer at a GameStop. Everything that I've experienced, and everything that I've heard from people who have worked there or had dealings with them. Yeah, it's working in GameStop is not
as glamorous
a whole lot
as you
of
want
fun.
It to be.
Yeah. No, certainly not. And it sounds like it's more miserable now than ever in this Polygon story about how the bosses, the higher ups, are piling more and more pressure on the frontline employees to get those trade-ins, get those hardware, not just selling games is not good enough anymore.
Right,
you got to get people to sign up for the loyalty club. You got to get them to fucking get that subscription. You got to get them to trade in their shit and, you know, take their miserable, you know, pennies on the dollar trade-in prices, because that's where they really make their money. It's like, you know, how cinemas don't really make their money selling you tickets. They make money selling you popcorn.
Yeah.
I think that's where GameStop makes its money. So more and more pressure. And here's the part of it. You know, I go on these. I don't have the energy to do another one of these fucking rants. I'm so tired of this shit. I'll simply say this. I'll make a prediction. I made a prediction earlier. There'll be another Smash Brothers game. That's
sure.
an obvious
wow.
one.
And you were out on the ledge there.
I'll make a slightly less certain prediction, but I'll still give this 99%. If I'm wrong on this, call me on it. But I feel like I'll be back on the show, maybe even before the end of the year, maybe next year, saying, remember on February 19th, I said that I was fucking right. GameStop is going to go down. It's going to go out of business.
This year.
It's not. I don't know. It's not a matter of if, but when.
Yeah.
It's going. It's going to go. It's going to go the same way as Tower Records and Blockbuster and all of those fucking places that we don't need anymore. GameStop's going to go away. And here's the second part of the prediction. When that happens, all of the people who do the hard work on the front lines, selling the games, picking up the phone and having to repeat that soul-crushing mantra, oh, hello, welcome to GameStop, where you can get 20% back by selling your latest video game. They have to say that shit 100 times a day. And it's miserable work. There's not much dignity in it. The only dignity in a job like that is that which you can find for yourself by taking pride in it, by taking passion in it. But there's no fucking dignity coming from up above. Right, because I don't give a fuck about you.
I believe it's the IGN one that has a really telling quote there from a GameStop employee that is just very much like, mainly I want people to know we're not all bad. Like, we're not bad people. Like, we're trying to do cool stuff.
No, I don't think they are at all. They're just people, you know, making a. That's why I never give shit to, like, you know, if at games, anywhere. If, so I never blame the person.
The overwhelming majority.
They're just trying to fucking get through the day like the rest of us.
The overwhelming majority of GameStop people I've been fortunate enough to meet via the stores or the manager's expo are always fantastic.
And I tell you, the local one we have here is actually, the people there are really nice.
Yeah.
And you know, and again, they're not doing that because they're overflowing with fucking joy for their job. But it's because they're doing their best to, you know, do a good, make the best of a bad job. But here's my prediction. When the hammer finally falls on GameStop and GameStop finally goes away as a business entity,
like
those people who do the hard work on the front lines will walk away with nothing. They will get fucked. They will get the shaft. They will get maybe like a fucking week's pay and told to fuck off. The people at the top, the CEOs and the people that ran that company into the ground, just like those motherfuckers at Toys R Us did, those people will all walk away with fucking million-dollar bonuses. And fuck all of them. I'm done.
It's fair and accurate. We stand with you, cool GameStop people. Sorry that this is happening to you. Let's check in with You're Wrong. People watching live on twitch.tv/kindoffunnygames. Go to kindoffunny.com/you'rewrong and tell us what we screw up as we screw it up so we can set the record straight. Jordan D popped in and said, breaking news while you guys were filming the show. IGN reports that Sony's pulling out of PAX East. Jordan, get here on fucking time or don't come at all. All right? Literally open the fucking show talking about this and you're going to come here and insult me now? I see Nintendo or Ninjo down here saying the same thing too. Come the fuck on, guys. Come on. It's not that hard. 10-ish is when we go live. Katie says in London time, the direct will be 2 p.m. Nanobiologist says it'll be 11 p.m. Japan.
You know, that's when Sean Connery shows up at Wimbledon. 10-ish.
Ah, you like that? That's good. That's like good. That? Yeah, all right, all right.
You like that?
Larry Hitta says it's
pronounced... I got you, Kevin.
Koch.
As I'm telling you, it's an audience of one on this show. If I can make Kevin laugh, I don't care about anyone else.
Yeah, of course. Yeah, you got this. Malcontent Ronan wrote in with a link to the gamesindustry.biz article where Lars was one of the people of the year 2018. And so there's a big old profile there. And he has his Twitter, while not active on it, has a thing to his little personal website.
I got to find more. I'm telling you, my guess is he'll probably be in town for GDC. You got to get him. You got to get him on the show.
Big Curse says, regarding Witcher 3 cross-save, it was already announced that it won't be coming to console versions. True, but I also remember when PlayStation wasn't going to do cross-save with Fortnite. So it's all about, hey, let's see what actually happens. Let's hold on a second. Ladies and gentlemen, that's Kinda Funny Games Daily. We're about to do the post show over on patreon.com/kindoffunnygames, where you can give us your questions, comments, concerns, PSN names, everything else. You can watch it live, twitch.tv/kindoffunnygames. You can watch it later, youtube.com/kindoffunnygames. You can watch it on Rooster Teeth. You can get it on podcast services around the globe. Why are you shaking your head like that?
Shaking my head?
Yeah.
Just nervous energy. So I had a Red Bull this morning.
Yeah.
When I got to your kitchen this morning, I don't know who's responsible for keeping the fridge stocked, but they're fucking dropping the ball because that fridge has got nothing in it. It's got a couple of furry
lemons.
It'll
be me and Blessing tomorrow. Blessing and Tim on Friday.
No one is responsible.
Until next time, it's been our pleasure to serve you. We'll see you in the post show.
No one is responsible, so go to hell.